Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get, come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy. I never knew.
think I want to hit the moon.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. Won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. We just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Good morning, good morning. I tell you, technology is something else. And you know what? I can't blame it all on technology. Just as in transition this morning, and I apologize to everybody. But you know what? We still, I'm like time is. I take a licking and I keep on ticking. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the world. According to Drew, I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A now. Time to cut a little bit, but you know what? We're going to make it. We're going to make it. I see Cheryl's up and running, and my apologies to you. I tell you, what a weekend, what a weekend. Once again, morning to Florida A&M alumni for doing what they're doing, led by Ron Fry. Some good things going on. And on yesterday, and I'll talk more about that, we do have a lot of local news that's going on. Attended a funeral of a young man that was 19 years old. And the sad part about him being 19, I won't go into specifics, but the thing is that a life was gone at 19. And what can we do, or what will we do? It's not much we can do at this point. But, folks, we have a problem. We have a problem. We need to talk to our young folks. We need to say, if you have nephews, grandchildren, anybody, you need to have conversation with those kids. Find out what's going on. At the funeral I went to, a promising young man with a great future, great personality, but there was a disconnect. A disconnect of some things that was going on in his life. Kids are very brutal at this age group. It's not like they haven't been, but our coping skills were a lot better than before. So you have kids who are encountering certain things, but they are not trying to resolve. And that's the thing that we need to be able to recognize and be able to try to get them to open up. Just so much is going on, whether they're hurting someone else, hurting themselves, get caught in crossfires. It's at a very critical state in our lives right now. And we definitely need to have some dialogue to find out through school counseling. You know, things are changing so much. You have people fighting over textbooks, fighting over this, fighting over that. But who's fighting for, who's an advocate for the children? Who's finding out what's going on in their head? Okay? You have kids carrying guns at school. We found out in Mansfield here locally several years ago. And not just at Mansfield. That just came to my mind right away, but we've had some other schools in the Metroplex where guns have been brought to school. You have up in Virginia where a six-year-old shoots a teacher. You know, there's a phrase I've always said, is there's an alarm at the gate. And what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? I think, first of all, one of the things we need to do is talk to our grandkids. If some of you who are online now have young kids, have a conversation. That is the key element. And find out what's going on. I've talked on previous episodes about us. If you have firearms, secure them. Secure them. If you have medication at your home, prescription meds, secure them. Have frequent conversations. Find out where the kids are. Because if they're going through something, they're not that slick where they won't talk about it. And you may get a break on it and find out exactly what's going on. If they have certain kids in their lives, time to talk with them, see if there's some things, some triggers. These are important facts that we need, that we really need to follow. And we'll talk about that. We'll get some input. I know we have some great people online that will help us get through this. And it's just not a kid. You see, with the killings in California, the killings in Idaho, you know, what do we do? Some of the strictest gun laws, but out of the gun laws, who are they protecting or who are they pushing forward? Are they protecting the public on what you can and cannot do? Or is it backing those who have the guns that are doing what they're doing? That's a $1 million question. California has more than 100 gun laws. Why didn't that stop more massive shootings. California. There were a community, an Asian community, was affected. You know, I always say there's one thing about the United States. We have people from various backgrounds. And it's almost like the clock is spinning on, or the wheel is spinning, and it lands on certain ethnic groups. Seeing that affect us more than a little bit, we do recognize that. But other ethnic groups are affected. In California, they had the, I think it was the Chinese New Year. And, you know, many lives were lost. Nobody thought it could happen, but you never know. You never know. People go through things. You know, I think about when I was a kid. There's words they used to use, old, feeble, crazy. Now it's called mental health. And if you know someone, it's just, you know, maybe give you a clue that something's going on. They're not pleased with something. It's all about having dialogue, trying to find out, maybe get them help to solve their problems internally first. Those are the things that we need to polish. We need to make sure that we have that dialogue. Now, mind you, every situation that may arise, that we may not be able to catch it, but there are so many out there that have given clues. And people, oh, that's just him or that's just her. We have to be more effective in listening. And by being effectively listening, we effectively try to counter. Have them talk about it. Maybe they hear themselves say something that may trigger within their own body. Who knows? I'm not a psychiatrist at all, but you could be saving a life having them have a dialogue where something slips, and then you try to counter by getting them assistance. Those are the things that we really need to do. Because you never know when it's going to come. Then, we've had a rash of police brutality out there. We, you know, from the Rodney King era and other Sandra Bland things of brutality. Then all of a sudden in Memphis, Tennessee, you go to Memphis, young man is beat up. Now, you must admit, the way things had been going, a lot of us thought it may have been white cops that delivered this hideous, hideous situation. Well, when the rubber met the road and all the expressions that you can think about, found out it was five individuals of color that beat this poor man. Now, it's one thing to arrest, subdue, which is flat-out beat. No. Flat-out beat this guy to death. And now all the litigation, you know, lawyers paid to get his clients off. But how do you not, and it happens, how do you not see a focus on the idea that this young man was beat? On the pictures, we noticed there was no fight back. He couldn't fight back. Whether it's black, white, brown, purple, or blue, we're looking at those officers and what occurred. Whenever you can rest, like Rodney King's situation, you're not in danger when you're resting. It reminded me of a championship wrestling match, tag team. You take a break and you come back. What is going on? I don't care any soul when somebody's on the ground. Do you continue to beat and beat and beat? I don't care if they're a black officer. I don't care if they're a white officer. We know what we've been accustomed to in the past with our young black men being beaten down, beaten past down, placed in the hospital. Most of us thought eventually, and I'll speak for myself, I want to see most of us. I thought definitely it was a white group of cops. Then when they showed the black cops doing what they were doing, and we watched the onions being peeled right there from Memphis, Tennessee, Shelby County. Police chief fires all the individuals, disbands their unit. Some people are questioning, why did it take so long? Why did it take this particular incident to occur for them to dismantle that particular battalion? Now the world can see. Not only are we getting it from them, we're getting it from us. We are getting it from us. Now, don't ever misunderstand what I'm saying. Right is right, wrong is wrong. But at this point, cuffs, maybe keep them down, maybe hog tie, who knows. But if all that could have been done, why isn't he with us today? Why isn't he here with us today? If you got the answer, please tell me. This vicious cycle that we live in, this vicious world, it's one thing, you know, you, and death is death, situation is situation. Well, people can travel across the country after living, I mean, after killing so many people, can be returned back to serve trial. Here's a young man that did break the law, did do something out of line, but did he deserve to die in that situation? It always appears, and I just call it like I see, people of color never get the fair shake that they deserve. 2 or 3 days in the ICU, the patient passes. Now, here's my thing, and this is not a reflection of Cheryl Smith and other parties of this. I feel as if we never get to tell our side of the story on certain situations. People can talk about it, they have relationships with the officers, and you get a true outcome. I still think about the South Carolina. The young man lived after killing all those folks. Had it been the other way of us killing somebody in a church environment, would they be around to talk about it? Will they be around to go to Burger King or McDonald's? We talk about the scales of justice. And I've mentioned it plenty of times over the years. But why is it just us? I would love to hear the testimonies with these five brothers of what they thought. And I know I don't have the best trained eyes, but I do have some reasoning of things that I do see. And when you can stop and rest and your colleague is carrying out his or her actions, then they stop and then you come on board. Does it feel like you're threatened when you rest? I want to see how this outcome is going to be. A life is being lost. The city of Memphis will be sued. The sister who is the police chief, I'm just looking at my crystal ball, will probably be released of her duties. Because somebody has to be held accountable. Even though she disbanded, which was a good move. But was it one incident too many that got us to this point? If these brothers conducted themselves the way we saw them in that area of Memphis, then that ain't right. Any of them. Serve and protect. Are they serving by beating them down? Beating them to death? That's something we all have to think about. Are we going back to the days of everybody carrying a gun, headed to the wild, wild west, Texas, Florida, opening up doors, open carry? Wow. That's all I can say about that one. We going to the wild, wild west. The wild, wild west. I wish we had that song on to do it. I tell you, so many things are going on in this world. How do we handle this? How do we? You got wars going on over in Ukraine. America and other countries are trying to help Ukraine. Russia strategically is cold over there, attacking power plants, now turning up the strikes on the Ukrainians. Countries going to bed with countries. Latin America getting ready to change their, potentially, change their dollar. They have always been allies of America. It's the tables twisting, shifting, whatever you want to say. Yes, we have domestic problems, but on the international front, things are changing too. This week alone, they're finding Secret Service documents. Secret, sacred United States documents in previous presidents' homes. Now, mind you, do we mention that, excuse me, President Trump didn't want to give his. He purposely took his. That's how it appears from what we've seen. They're finding some over in the current president's home in office. Former Vice President Pence, some documents. They're turning them over. But why is it such a stall, stalemate, as they like to call it, in chess, with our 45th president turning over information? Was that information given to other countries to open up the doors and understand what is going on in our country? Now that opens up a whole new can of worms. A whole new can of worms as it relates to foreign policy. But in the midst of all of that, there is a silver lining. But we have to be willing to work towards making things better for everyone, whether it's local, statewide, nationally, globally. What do we do? I want to take this time just to bring a ray of sunshine. I want to say happy birthday to Miss Skylar Amor Smith. Her third birthday. Oh, Cheryl, is that 33rd? Because she got it going on. She runs the show. You know how old folks used to say, she running the show. We understand that. But we want to say happy, happy birthday. Look, 333, they all go pretty fast. And I want to say good morning, Florida A&M. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Ron Fry. Doing great things for FAMU. Didn't get a chance to go by Cheryl yesterday. Had a funeral, a big funeral I talked about, for the young man that's 19. To my surprise, I guess I'm not the last one getting information. I had a special package come in from London yesterday, or day before yesterday. I had a special package from the West Coast as well. And I must say, we kind of lose it when they grow old. Because I know I'm that same child that got away. And I think I'm losing the vote, Cheryl. It used to be my vote was everything. Now my vote don't mean nothing. My mother called me Uncle Pete. Put me in the back room. I am losing out on this. It's just amazing. The world that we live in, and folks, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of these signs that we're missing. You know you're getting older. Of course, I mean, we're older than when we started this broadcast. But I want to talk more of an unscripted off the top of recognizing what our kids, what our grandkids are doing, how kids are responding to societal events. What do we do when a six-year-old carry a gun to school, shoot a teacher in Virginia? How about when we had a four-year-old, gun fired in the lunchroom in Dallas? Those parents who are out here, I beg you, I ask you, I do whatever I can to ask you, please secure your firearms at your homes. The little kid, 4 and 5 years old, over in Oak Cliff, took the gun of a brother, his brother. I'm asking all the big brothers, big sisters, households around America, secure your guns. Don't show your four-year-old brother this is what he needs to be doing or what she needs to be doing. Because doing that, that cycle never breaks. Parents have had heartaches, heartbreaks for years with firearms. How many kids we don't hear about get killed on the streets? But then there's always one, Mr. Nichols, that remind you. And I think of this song, and it might be just something that reminds me. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes you wonder how you keep from going under. We've been getting these messages for years. But what are we doing? What can we prevent another Memphis, Tennessee, Monterey, California? But we allow everybody to carry guns. People get to surrender in certain areas. You're a known killer and you surrender? That didn't happen on Martin Luther King. Don't happen on Malcolm X. It doesn't happen on 22nd Street in Tampa. Well, you get captured after doing mass shooting. You don't get to have an incident in Los Angeles several years ago via Rodney King and survive. Yes, he survived, but what? Look at the damage that was done prior. It's something about this side of the tracks that we've always known is different. You hear the cliche, what goes on in the South, stay in the South. What goes on our side of the tracks seem to only stay on our side of the track. But when it does go across, they're able to turn themselves in. They're able to serve the consequences. We're caught on the short end going to funerals, laying up in hospital beds. Just think about that. The contributions that we talked about last week that we've made to this country. And you don't want to put it in a history book. You want to prevent these kids from learning the truth about our country. You want America to preserve white nationalism. Well, I'm sorry to say, this thing we call America has a very diverse timeline. We never asked to come over. We came. We adapted. As Malcolm X has said in the back, you stripped us of our names, stripped us of our land. And we were able to adapt, almost like a chameleon. It didn't matter, but we made the most. We've cooked for the highest and cooked for the lowest. We've gotten ham. We've gotten ribs. But we made pigtails work, pig feet, pig ears, pig lips, made hog head cheese, creative. Being able to survive in situations where we're not favorable for survival. Yeah, we've adapted. But it seems like when the table is getting level, there's always something. People can kill folks in Idaho, go across the country, come back safely to stand trial. I just put it out there for you. Craziness, folks. Craziness. And it hurts. Because it could be me. It could be you. It could be our kids and I pray that this never happens, but you never know. As a parent, you understand what your family went through. My mother used to always say, I pray, and you call me when you travel, because I would sit up here all night wondering what is going on. We didn't have a cell phone. I remember calling collect. I forgot the proper term, but I used to call for myself. Call, ask, I forgot the terminology, where you call, collect for myself, and she would hear my voice. That would let her know that I went down U.S. 19 of 27 all the way from Tampa, to Tallahassee. That was our way of communicating. Wasn't no cell phone. Mom, I'm on my way. She know what me. Give me, if it's a 4-hour drive, give me maybe 5 hours or six. And the Lord has been very good to me in that standpoint. Only had one flat tire in all those times. All of those times. Leaving Tampa at midnight when I should have been gone at noon. You know how young people do. But I'm here and you're hearing my voice only by the grace of God. He has something for me to do. I'm no different than any other kids, but I didn't rob, steal, shoot nobody. Not saying that I'm better, but I pray. And I got the prayer of many people along the way. And that's what we need to do. Pray for our young people. These sororities and fraternities, excuse me, we need to set up programs where we can try to give them a fresh start. A fresh start. Of knowing what it's all about. Being able to put a plan in place for he or she to grow. You know, earlier I mentioned a 3-year-old, a birthday. But we want them to have many, many birthdays. So we pray for her protection, her shield. The people around her to give her the best advice. Give her the roadmap to success. Now, that's provided to most of us. But there's times where decisions have to be made, and we hope that they make the best decision possible to continue. You know, I never understood until I got older. What Dr. King, I may not get there with you. You know, he had that premonition of what could happen during those times. But even today, the premonition of conclusiveness, or inclusiveness as well, being able to finish the job. We may start the route and start the job, but will we be able to finish? We don't know what the future holds. But if we stick to the plan to make a change, then we're able to try to make the change and hopefully be able to see it through. That's what we need in this country. Washington is something else. Always have been, always will. The only place where you can get into Congress with a bad rap sheet, had it been I, would be in Congress, you know they would have gone through my record with a fine-tooth comb. Speculation about one in the rank. He don't look like me. If he looked like me, you know he would have been out quickly. God bless America. God bless America. It's about 26 minutes after the hour. We have a few callers. I want to take your take on what happened at Bethune-Cookman this last couple of weeks. For those who don't know, Bethune-Cookman was started by Mary McLeod Bethune. First started out as all-girls school, where she sold sweet potato pies to keep the doors open. The sacrifice. Then she got tight with Eleanor Roosevelt. FDR was forced to do some things. I like that pillow talk. Gave Mary McLeod Bethune an opportunity to join forces with Mr. Cookman there in Daytona Beach and create Bethune-Cookman College that we knew of all the years. That's Bethune-Cookman University. And those, if you wonder how did they become the university, it's just basically, well, it is based, excuse me, on the amount of colleges that you provide education. And what we mean by colleges within the university, like the English Department of Humanities, Natural Sciences, things of that nature. If you have a certain amount, then you can become a university. Well, they had Ed Reed that was interested. After looking at things, I think Ed kind of made a bad turn. He was pissed. We understand that. But you cussing and you crying, you got a passion. I feel it. I feel it. You have an individual who not only with the passion, he expressed it. And now you want to be a part of our family and you bad mouth us. I don't think Cookman handled that thing well. Let's get you in here. Let's talk and see if there's any damage control that can be done. Every situation in HBCU country is not like Jackson State. That was a rarity. It occurred. We had a number one pitch man. Number one pitch. Excuse me. To make it happen. I want to hear from you all. What do you feel about anything we've talked about? But right now I'm talking about the Bethune-Cookman situation. All you got to do is press 1. Cheryl, we would love to hear from you as well. Because you and I, we pretty much on the same fabric of how we feel about our HBCUs. And, folks, all you got to do is press 1 to get on board. And, Cheryl, if you don't mind, can you get on? Let me just see your take. We're still trying to rise. Rise to greatness. Everything can't be a Jackson State situation. Everything can't be a FAMU situation. TSU, Wiley, Jarvis. We all have our own particular characteristics, I'll put it like that, that we must deal with. But I want to hear what you have to say. Good morning. Welcome
Good
to
morning.
The World of Corporate Truth. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Oh, it's been 48 hours has been pretty rough. And it's not physically rough, only physical because of the activity and, you know, I talked about the kids being home that hadn't
right.
happened in a while. And
did you
attending.
Go to the?
Huh?
Did you go to the Founders Day luncheon?
No, I did not, but they did. And I was glad. You know, it's funny how things work out, Cheryl. It wasn't supposed to be that way. But she was able to go, and she was a scholar for them. And they recognized her, the little national officer. So they had their day in the sun yesterday. And then we had the funeral that was afternoon. So it was quite a bit. But, you know, if I had a corn pipe and a big rocking chair on the porch, I'll tell you, I was feeling good. So good I could wave at every car that passed by on the highway. You know how you go in the country. People be waving at cars. Yeah, that's how I felt yesterday.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out. They call a shot, Mrs. Williams in Zachary, Louisiana, because that's what happened when I was going to her house. She said, I stopped and called her, and she said, did you just pass by in a white car? And I said, yes. And she said, but why didn't you stop? I was waving at you. I said, everybody was waving at me, you know.
Right.
In those small country towns.
Yeah.
They wave at everybody who ride by.
Oh, yeah. And I can tell you one of the best times I've ever had where I encountered that, I had to go to Bainbridge, Georgia. The cheapest flight I could find was to go to Atlanta, from Dallas to Atlanta. Rented a car, drove down 85 and got off and went through Columbus, Georgia. You know, one of the larger military installations in our country. And every house I passed on that road, they were waving.
Yes.
I had a rental car, so it didn't have no tint on it. But they just waved. I waved back. I blew the horn a couple of times. But that's how, look, they probably count cars, whatever the case may be. But that might be part of their entertainment for the day.
Exactly.
We don't think much. Oh. And Cheryl, do you remember the days that cars passed by and you with family members and you said, that's my car? That's your car. No, no, that's mine. I saw it first, you know, just picking cars along the way. But that's how they do it. So we were regressing for a minute there. But those were the fun days where simple was better. Because now we got so much going on.
And that's something, Andrew, I was watching a show called All American Homecoming. And it's about a black college and what's going on there. And interestingly, the focus is more on baseball and tennis, the team there and everything. But the writing, you know, one thing that really stuck in my mind was there were two messages that came from the show. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, in the day. And we may think it wasn't that we had tough times, and I don't think that we, looking back, that we say that, but we need to see what these young people are being deluged with, what's being put in their face. And we have to realize one message that came from the president of the college to a professor was that, you know, gone are the days of beating them down to build them up, because society has already beat them down. So
right.
They're not in, they're so fragile now, you can't beat them. And myself, I found myself to be backing away, if you will. And because, you know, trying to understand how do you help these young people when they know everything, and is it now, you know, I'm looking at, is it a defense mechanism for them to put up a I know everything, you can't tell me nothing type of posture And what makes it worse, however, is that their parents who didn't go through as much as they're going through, some of them are enabling them and, you know, telling, you know, for example, I saw where one parent was saying, just because my child don't want to hug you, my child being disrespectful, well, you know, they don't have to hug me. So, you know, they were talking to someone else, of course, and they weren't talking to me because I would have had a lot of words for them, but they don't have to hug. But you know what? These young people sometimes won't speak and you don't check them. And they, when it comes time to get a gift or something, they expecting you to give them a gift. Or, you know, or if you go out to eat and everything, their parents would be upset if you said, I'm picking up everybody's tab. No, I ain't picking up yours. You know, I don't see people who don't even have the common courtesy to speak to them. You know, so, you know, we're living at some times where we're going to have to show a little grace and we're going to, but we also have to call on people to be the teachers when there are no teachers there because, you know, when I read the stories and do more research on Tyree Nichols, I'm just like, you know, this was a guy who actually seemed like he was maybe even been headed toward pursuing a career in some type of way where he could be someone who could have been in law enforcement or could have been somewhere where he was trying to help. You know, his friends referred to him as someone who kind of, he was the one who was going to make the peace, try to work out a situation. And I don't know about you, how you felt, but I'd really like you to tell me, how did you feel when you heard that young man calling for his mom?
Yeah.
Any of your listeners have a feeling, what did it do to you to hear that? Because guess what? And you may not remember, but we played him several times and during this hour on this show of Trayvon Martin, he called for his mama also. So did it do anything to you? And I'll just tell you, for me, it did. If you ever saw the movie Sankofa, where the mother was, her son was going wayward, and, you know, she, like, he grabbed her stomach, you know, like she was holding on to her womb because the pain was so deep there. And I just wondered what mama in the world did not feel something when they heard Tyree Nichols calling for his mom.
Yeah. And, you know, Cheryl, when you're in those tight situations, you know, it's nothing, you know, I could call either one, but mama came out so fast. Help me, my mama, you know. I think about grown-up situations where you knew if you had a chance to come in that room, you didn't call your daddy. Mama, you hear some rumblings like, oh, Lord, what he want there? You know, that type of thing. But these kids today, we, you know, still going to take the upbringing. Some mamas and daddies still getting the groove on. And that's okay. We understand. But when you have a child, there's a certain amount of responsibility that you need at least to give them some foresight or create the foresight for them to utilize in the future, because we don't know. And I tell you, parenting is not like a manual is available. Excuse me. It's more of a trial and error. And you try to make the best decision as a parent on what you try to make lessons of. Because they know so much nowadays that you don't know what to say or do. But, you know, just the thing of just going through it, through the process.
Right.
I tell you now, sure, as a grown man, I wish that my parents were still, because there are things that you might not be embarrassed at, but when it came to them, you were able to ask whatever you needed to ask. nothing was too big, nothing was too small for them to say, hey, well, what did you think about it? And sometimes you had the answer, but hearing them bring it out of you, you know, made it that much, gave you that commitment to make it better.
Okay.
Those are the things that we need. And we need more parents today. Talk to your children. You'll be surprised what you may pick up, may be surprised at what you may be able to deliver or drop off for them to succeed.
Right.
So it's quite a bit that's going on in the world. And,
well, do you have any feelings?
I'm sorry?
Did you have any feelings when you heard him calling for his mom?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mom is that comforting word that comes out of your mouth. I would call dad, but it seemed like coming up, the only chance you had was to call mom. And I'm being very frank with you. There were times where if you had to call, even if there was something going on the other side of the door, we all grown, but you understand what I'm saying. As a kid, you realize that mama would answer, mama, huh? And then you get cussed out and, look, get big-eyed when you see your dad. Because your little boy, the mom will, you know, not to say dads don't stick with you, but moms stick with you through thick and thin. Now, there's some dads that will, too. But during those times for me, you call mom, you had a better chance of getting attention out of the room than that of dad. Trust me. Look, it took me many years to understand that. But as a kid, you understood that nothing like that mom, that nurturing. And my dad was pretty good. He was a hugger. He became a hugger later. But he was more the firm advice. But the nurturing and the caring and the loving definitely came from mom. Definitely. But your dad is thinking, you know, we got to keep you tough. We'll need you hugging and all that. You know, the mindset of the man. Or the man,
yeah, well, you just think about, you know, use the first word out of a child's mouth. Maybe not Skylar, it probably was no. But, you know, it's usually mommy, mom, you know. And then if that was the first word that Tyree's mom heard, it was also the last, probably.
Yeah.
It's just really sad.
Let me read something for you, Cheryl. Somebody send this, and I will send this. This is real here. There's a picture of a little boy being held by his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the father said to his son, be careful where you walk. The son responded, you be careful. I walk in your footsteps.
Oh. Okay.
Is that heavy or what?
Very, very, very. You know, because I'm watching on social media, and you know what? I see some, I can't tell who is the parent. You know, and there has to be a certain line when you know when you have stepped over that line with your parents. We don't watch that door. And we have to watch, you know, I can remember one time I was, you know, talking to my mom, and I was just joking, and Andrew, I'm saying I had to be over 40, and we were talking about something, and I said, oh, mother, that's not true, and as soon as that true came out my mouth, it's like I choked on the word, and there was a pause, And my mother said, I know you're not calling me a liar.
Uh-huh.
She said something like, you know, no child of mine to be calling me a liar. And I couldn't say anything because I was just trying to. I said, no, no, mother. And she hung up the phone on me. And I just having a little talk. You know, that was almost as bad as when you were growing up and your mom had company. And, you know, the parents had company over there, and they telling the story, and you butt your little grown butt in there and say, that's not the way it happened. You were going to be in real trouble.
Oh, absolutely. But how many kids respect the fact of what they may or may not say that will affect their parents? Some of them going to fly off the cuff regardless. But you had to choose your words.
Oh, yeah, and I just heard the cousin. This young sister, I heard her, and she was pregnant. So it's like the mom and the child, and the child has the child inside of her, and she's cussing, feeding that into her child. And they were saying all kind of words that I would never say in front of my mom, never. And, you know, and some of them weren't even cuss words, but I'm not going to refer to my vagina as the P word.
Right.
My mom. And to, you know, I'm just not going to do it, but that's what they were saying. And I just said, okay, this is what we have come to. And can we, you know, do, who was that saying, turn back the hands of time? It was a song back before your time. Somebody listening may remember that song. But could we, you know, we don't want to go back to when they say when America was great, but there was a time in our life when some things were just a no-no, when you can go and look at pictures of yesteryear and see little kids dressed up and covered more than you see adults today. You know, and there's a time and place for everything. That's just what I guess the message I'm trying to impart. You know, do what you want to, but there's just certain places where you should say, no, this is not going to happen this way. I'd rather be overdressed than underdressed.
Right.
And interestingly, when you see the five police officers in Memphis, when the mugshots of them had on hoodies, and every time they want to, you know, say, even when they describe Tyree, they describe what he had on. They said he had on certain kind of pants and whatever, and that he had on a hoodie. And there's just certain things we have to look at and say, this is not right for us at this time as we try to progress through life. But, I'd really like to hear what some of your what your listeners have to say about what's happening and how do we change it around, because I don't know that you and I are going to agree. I don't know if I heard you say or not. Do you think that Bethune Cookman should retract and actually hire the coach?
Well, I'll say this. It would have been nice, but, you know, he let his emotions get carried away, and he said some things that I thought was not very becoming as a employee of that particular university. So they may not, you know, it may be a pride thing where they may not reach back to him. We understand, but, you know, it's like an interview. You got to say everything that's pretty much right, not wrong.
You know, give me an example of something he said.
You know,
I know they were talking about the music, and don't try to portray something as, you know, you don't want to blame the victim, but you also do not want to paint this false narrative. And, you know, like someone, one critic says, you know, how many times they've been on Bethune's campus and they never heard gospel music playing, but they heard that song that was played in the video, and they heard Rick Ross. And
Cheryl, we really understand that kids today present a different set of challenges. How about that? That's the only word I can come up with right now.
Okay.
You know, the same for FAMU. We can speak of that. If, you know, we salt and pepper. See, it wasn't as graphic as it was now, but that was pretty graphic. Salt and pepper. We can go back to Marvin Gaye. Let's Get It On. If that don't tell it, I don't know what will.
No, there are a whole lot more. But the point is, don't go and get on camera talking about how Bethune is this, and we're trying to teach our students Christian values and everything. And you know, it has to show. And
well, he was hurt, he was hurt, but yet and still, you know, what's the old adage? Let your mind stop before your mouth starts.
Everybody has that moment when something happens. But this shines a bigger light on an issue, because guess what? A mama came to my office Friday talking about, they could have been talking about Texas Southern University. I said, really? And she said, yes. She said, my daughter, her first semester there, and her daughter is so upset. But let me tell you one thing that upsets her daughter even more. Her daughter's heard all these years from me talking about the love and having these professors that stay on you and in you and checking you and everything. But there's a difference in checking people, you know, with scorn and having a way of looking at them that doesn't make them feel good when you walk away. And there's a way of they saying, oh, she's tough, but I know she loved me, you know, that type of thing. And she talks about how people treat you like crap. And I encourage you and listeners to watch the All-American Homecoming, because there was a financial aid worker. You know, we have our financial aid stories. And there was a financial aid worker. And the way that worker was acting, you didn't have your paperwork in, and the guy was showing that the paperwork was there. But she wasn't giving him any grace. And, you know, and then people were talking about, okay, they were saying the students were making a big deal out of nothing, saying that, because the president said he had been on campus. And they said, we haven't seen him. And so folks were calling in, of course, on PWIs calling in and saying that, you know, all these other schools, you know, big white schools, you don't get to see the president. You know, there are 50,000 students or whatever. Well, that's what's one of the selling points of HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
That you did have a relationship. You did see the president.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I can say one word that our generation really know. INGE, Miss Inge. Call Miss Inge, okay. The Wiggum, what you got? What you got? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ann. See, we had that relationship. And like you said, the homecoming with baseball and tennis, which was good, showed a different side of not just basketball and football.
And football. But even still, they also had, there was a problem. A student got upset because the president was having, before she became president, she was having, like, a dinner with just a few students, and someone who felt left out was feeling, you know, was snitched. And so then there was a conversation about, you know, there were students, they would probably be getting favor and everything. And so a solution was that the president started having a campus-wide breakfast where anybody could come. And it just reminded me of, you know, presidents like Dr. Michael Sorrell and Paul Quinn starting a book club, or other presidents, Lee Monroe and Paul Quinn having, you know, breakfast with the students, or, you know, they could come or not come, but it was there. And and that's the beauty of what we do and what we need to get back to. But we also have to treat these students like, this is for anybody and whatever your profession is, if you don't like your job, quit. But don't bring your poison. Don't say, well, I'm keeping it for the benefits, or I'm keeping it for this, for because I'm almost near retirement, or this is the only thing I can have. But don't walk up there, especially if you are responsible for teaching our young. Because if you go into the classroom every day talking about these hellions, you don't need to be in there with them. You need to go in there. You know, I'm thinking about the professors and teachers who in their head, they saying, well, let me get in here with my baby. Because if you don't feel like you're there for that purpose, you don't need to be there. Don't come there because you couldn't get a job in a profession you thought you wanted to be in, or you got fired because you weren't performing. And then you said, oh, well, I guess I'll go teach. And that's not the case with folks like Ed, like Dion, and folks like that. They aren't the coaches who couldn't play, so they go and coach. These are people who have excelled and gone and trying to do things. And I think one thing, and I'm a wind it down for you so you can close out. I think, you know, you really have to consider the egos of a lot of these presidents who want the light to shine on them. And then, too, if you sit on a board of trustees, let's do the numbers. Let's see how much money you brought into the school, because some of them need to get off there. And I don't know where. And this is systemic. You know, either they're appointed by governors who have their reasons or whatever. But I want to see the dollars and the cents, and it needs to make sense for me with a lot of these school boards and trustees and everything. What are you doing for the school other than Thornton at homecoming?
Well, you know, you're so right on that. And Bethune-Cookman being a church school, I know that Edward Waters is an AME church, because control school, because that's the school that we always. But I think it could be Methodist or Baptist that has Bethune-Cookman, the I guess as far as the foundation for the school. But it needs to go all the way across and make some decisions. I fault Bethune-Cookman. If there's a potential, call the gentleman in, or whomever. Call them in and set out something before everybody starts. There's an expression, and please forgive me, ladies. It's called peeing in the wind, and that's what they were doing.
The president, and I know people knew that man was on that campus cleaning up, and the thing about it, the president should have gotten his butt out there too.
As well.
And the students, I just encourage them to keep doing what they do, but be respectful with it. That's all I ask. And I appreciate that they were referring to the president by doctor or mister or whatever, and not going for his name and being disrespectful. Protest, but do it in order.
Right. Well, we thank you so much. What a way to close. You know what? We're going to pick this up next weekend. We have a caller from Atlanta. We thank you, Dallas, always supporting, and for Cheryl right there. And in order for all of us to be successful in this world, and especially at our HBCUs, it's going to take a little prayer, because we all need it. Our presence is needed, and when it's needed, we must utilize it to make this world a better place. So on behalf of Cheryl Smith and the Cheryl Smith Enterprises, as we call it, always a pleasure to be here with you. I'll be back and black next Sunday as well. Keep praying. Keep doing what you're doing, because we only have an on-time God. I'm out.